Adam Beasley, who covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley. Bees, how are you doing tonight?
I'm Greg. Great, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I suppose we should start. I do want to ask you about the NBA Finals. That's been the hot topic tonight, of course, but I saw on social media you posted some shots from Oakland Raiders minicamp. So you're out on the West Coast. How's everything treating you out there?
Well, it's funny you should mention that. I'm in the Oakland airport right now. I'm about to board a flight. I'm going down to Orange County, checking out the Chargers tomorrow. And I'm looking at one of those newsstands. You know, they sell newspapers, sodas, chips, and nothing but Golden State Warriors gears adorning the front of the store, including one of those little neck roll things you use to sleep on the plane. So if you want me to bring you back some Golden State souvenirs, I'm in the right place to do it.
Okay. I think you and I are both on the same page about how we feel about that. But
I just want to put the offer out there.
That's very nice of you. Yeah. So yeah. Real quickly, since you were at Raiders camp today, didn't Richie Incognito, did you get you got a chance to see him then?
I saw him, did not get a chance to talk to him. He has been a member of the Oakland Raiders now for 2 weeks, and he is yet to be made available to the media. I was hoping to talk to him today. It was a swing and a miss for me, but yeah, I think he may talk later on this week. I did get to see him practice a little bit, and it's funny. Different color jersey, same number, same build, same. It's Richie. I mean, it's funny. John Gruden was asked about him a bunch of times, including by me today, and he said, "Well, when Richie decided to stop playing, he wasn't a good player. He was a great player. He was a Pro Bowler, and they think they can get that back at age. What is he now? 36, maybe." And a lot more over the dam, so to speak. I don't know if he'll be that same player. He can go football, and certainly all the issues he's had to work through may have taken his toll. But in the very, very brief time that I laid eyes on him today, he looked like the same old guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think everything you need to know is in that quote that you just mentioned from John Gruden, because you know, it's the same old story. If you're talented, even if you're troubled, they'll take a chance on you. And Richie Incognito has gotten plenty of chances, including now in Oakland with the Raiders. Okay, so you mentioned the Golden State Warriors gear in the airport. Obviously, Kevin Durant's likely torn Achilles has been the story from Game 5, even more so than the actual outcome. I feel terrible for him. Where do you reside on the debate about trying to place blame for his injury?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, Kevin Durant's a grown man. And I know he's probably getting some pressure internally. He was definitely getting pressure externally to play. But at the end of the day, he's a grown man and had a responsibility for his own actions. So, yeah, I have sympathy for him. I certainly feel bad that, you know, it came to that. But do I think it's the GM's fault? Do I think it's Steve Kerr's fault? Do I think it's the teammate's fault? They may have put the idea in his head to play and rush back a little too soon. At the end of the day, Kevin Durant knows the lay of the land. He's 30 years old. He's a multiple-time MVP, multiple-time NBA and Finals MVP. He at some point asked us to push back and say no if he doesn't feel ready. And by all accounts, I don't think we've heard from Kevin himself, but all accounts, he thought he was ready to go, and sometimes these things happen in life.
Yes, I'm with you. Although we've heard now Charles Barkley came out and is criticizing the Warriors, saying they should protect the player from himself, all this other stuff. But I tend to agree with you on that, Bees, that, you know, at the end of the day, if it's Durant's call. Like, you know, there's a certain process where if medically they rule him out, then he doesn't have a control over that. But if he's cleared and he still doesn't feel comfortable with playing, heck, Kawhi Leonard spent almost an entire season on the sideline in San Antonio because he didn't feel comfortable coming back. So we've seen guys do it before. That's not the finals, and there's a lot of pressure, but I do think that there's a lot of factors there, and Durant ultimately had the final say. With that being said, how confident are you now in Toronto's ability to actually close this thing out?
Oh, not at all. I mean, last night was their moment. You know me, I was sound asleep midway through the third quarter, even out here on the West Coast. But, you know, watching the highlights, reading the recaps, you got a six-point lead at home with 3 minutes to go, championship right there for the taking. And you blow it, you score 2 points the rest of the way, that's your moment. I mean, I don't think anyone would be surprised if Golden State comes out and plays great on Thursday and wins on their home court. They haven't won on their home court yet this series, right? They lost both their home games. They're not. I can't see them going 0-3 at home in the NBA Finals. they're going to probably win game six. So then it's game seven. And I'll ask you, Greg, who do you like in game seven?
I mean, I agree with you that game six likely to go the Warriors' way. And then game seven, I mean, that's a crapshoot, man. I mean, you go from the Raptors having all this momentum, clearly controlling the series, to then the pressure squarely on. They do have an advantage of being at home, but I'm with you. If you're talking about championship medal and experience and the momentum of the Warriors staring down a 3-1 deficit and turning into a winner-take-all one-game scenario, you have to think Golden State feels really good about it, and a lot of people will feel that they have the best chance to win a Game 7 scenario.
The way they came back last year against the Rockets, and I know Durant was healthy and played in that series, but imagine the recriminations there would have been last year if they would have lost the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. They didn't. They rose to the occasion, won the last two games, and advanced to the NBA Finals. Even after the 3-1 debacle to the Cavs, they came back and steamrolled Cleveland the next year. They have it, man. They know how to put together championship-level play at championship-level times. And that's why I would not – Toronto's got to be – sick to their stomachs today. We saw how Drake left the floor and kind of was having a hissy fit and nearly on the verge of tears after the loss last night. He's got to be the emoji for all of Toronto Raptors fans and maybe even the organization, because I mean, last night was their shot. And again, they're going to get another home game. They lose on Thursday, and I understand that home teams usually win Game Seven. But you just mentioned it, and I couldn't have said it better. A championship pedigree that they have in Golden State, it's going to be tough to beat them. I really do think it's going to be tough.
And it sets up perfectly for the NBA. They love all this. A potential Game 7, this is perfect for business if you're the league. Adam Beasley joining the program here, of course, covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. All right, Bees, let's get to the Miami Dolphins. You have produced a lot of great content over the last week or so, courtesy of the Miami Herald. And you tweeted that Devontae Parker was the Dolphins' best offensive player in the offseason workout program. You have an article to complement that as well. Where have we seen this before, I would ask you? Because I'm concerned, Bees, that this is like a recurring theme with Devontae Parker. He looks great when it doesn't matter. And then when it does matter, where is number 11?
I feel like Charlie Brown, you know, charging the football and Lucy's just about to yank it away and I'm going to fall on my ass. I mean, I feel like that's what's going to happen here. But I am going to be that guy and say Devontae looked really, really good. I mean, like the best receiver the Dolphins have good. And I know we had Albert Wilson wasn't out there and Kenny Stills has been a little banged up. But he has been consistently their best offensive player this spring. And you mentioned, you know, deja vu all over again. Well, yeah, we've said this seems like two or three times before, and it hasn't translated. And so the question is, why is this year different? I mean, he is, you know, seven-time gold medalist in the underwear Olympics, it seems like, you know, but you put those pads on and something changes. Well, here's what could be different, Greg. He's playing for a new coach that clearly has some level of trust in him in a way that Adam Gase didn't. Because the Dolphins could have easily just walked from Devontae. No, instead they decided to restructure his contract. He did take a pay cut, but they kept him on for one, if not two more years to prove himself. That, to me, shows that Brian Flores wants him here, that he thinks that he can flourish here, and he can be a good, really good player for the Miami Dolphins. So that's number one. Number two, maybe Devontae will actually get lucky for once and stay healthy. Now, no player in the NFL is completely healthy throughout the season. Everyone's got something to deal with. But he's been snake bit. If it's not the foot, it's the ankle, it's the hamstring. Just the litany of injuries he's dealt with. Maybe he's due some good karma. Maybe, you know, whatever he did in his past life that the gods are taking out of him, maybe the is clear now and he can go ahead and have a good NFL career. And point number three, Greg, why I think this could be different is look who's throwing the football. Ryan Fitzpatrick and Devontae Parker already have a chemistry. It was very clear with two 60-plus yard bombs the last day of minicamp, and we don't know if Fitzpatrick or Rosen's going to be the starter, but if it is Fitzmagic, I mean, we saw in Tampa last year, that guy can sling it. He's going to throw it to the wrong team a lot, but he can throw it to his own team a lot too. And he, maybe Jay Cutler has kind of had that same mindset, but I don't think Devontae's really had a quarterback who's just let it rip and can throw the ball downfield the way that we've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick do. So I think personnel-wise, he's set up to succeed as well. Those are the three reasons why I think it could be different. If it will be different, I'm still going to, I'm going to hold my fire on that. Wait till they get in the pads and training camp. If he emerges from training camp healthy, productive, then yeah, I'm all on board the Devontae Parker train.
All right. I mean, it sounds good, but yeah, I need to see it to believe it after all these other tease jobs we've had from him. Now, you just mentioned Fitzpatrick and Rosen, and this is a really, really fascinating dynamic, not only because it's the biggest storyline for this team, but also it does feel like there are certain members of the media, colleagues of yours, that have already decided Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starter. I would ask you, though, because I think it's way too early to say that, where do you reside there? I mean, are we going to see a legitimate competition come August when training camp rolls around?
I'll say this. If Josh Rosen was as far ahead of Ryan Fitzpatrick as Fitzpatrick is ahead of Rosen, I would call it, because there's all the upside in starting Rosen. So I still think they're going to grade this thing on a little bit of a curve. If they're close, they have all the incentive in the world to play Rosen to see what he's got this year. But right now, it's not close, Greg. I mean, there's a gap between the two. And Fitzpatrick was really, really good in the practices we saw. I think we saw five or six practices over the course of the spring. And every one of them, he was the best quarterback on the field. But again, like Devontae Parker, where have we heard this before? I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, he's been in the league 17, 18, 23, 34 years, whatever it is. He knows every offense in football. He knows how to throw the no-look pass, which was great. We saw on Dolphins social media. But can he put it together consistently? And so even if he does, Greg, win the week one starting job, history suggests that he's going to have multiple hiccups. He's going to have a 3 or 4 pick game. And if he has enough of those early in the season, the Dolphins start out 2-5, 3-6 even. There's all the incentive in the world to play Rosen down the stretch to see what they have. So my guess is this, both are going to play at some point, either because of injury or ineffectiveness. The question is who gets that week one start. I'm not ready to call it at this point. I certainly know Brian Flores isn't ready to call it. We haven't seen a single snap in the preseason. We haven't seen anything with the pads on. But Rosen, who I'm going to go down and see if I can talk to some of his people this week, he's got his work cut out for him. My guess is he knows he has his work cut out for him to win that starting job.
Yeah, it's going to – I think still the story is to be written, but I'm with you. Like, I understand Fitzpatrick's well ahead at this point, and looking forward to seeing what you find out in L.A. Adam Beasley's joining us here, covers the Dolphins, of course, for the Miami Herald. All right, I got to admit, I cringed when I read Micah Fitzpatrick's quotes in your article regarding the communication or lack thereof from the previous coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball. I guess first thing is, does that tell us all we need to know about how things operated under the previous regime?
Whew. Well, it certainly gives us – I don't think it forgives what Rashad Jones did, but it certainly explains a little bit what Rashad Jones did, because there wasn't an outpouring of respect, I would say, for Matt Burke in that locker room. And Minka, he isn't a look-at-me kind of guy. He is – I mean, he'll give you an honest answer, but he's not trying to showboat. He's not trying to show anyone up. And for him to – essentially take a blowtorch to his defensive coordinator like that. I don't have the exact quotes up, but maybe you do, but essentially it was, I feel like even though I can't focus on one position this year, I want to be so much better because we're not going to be making it up as we go along.
Right.
And that's essentially what he said Matt Burke did. Like, it would change day to day what they thought his role would be, not game to game, but like midway through the week, he suggested they would just scrap plans and go another way. And that's really hard for a rookie, man. I know he played a lot of different positions at Alabama, but he's still, 22, 23 years old at that time. And he's playing against by far the best competition he's ever seen in his life. So cut the dude a break. And I think you're absolutely right. I think it's very telling as to what went wrong. There are a lot of things that went wrong over the last 2 years. But more than anything, I don't think the coaching staff, the past coaching staff, maximized the players they had. I don't think they had great plans for their skill sets, and I don't think they utilized them in a way they should. So, if I was Matt Burke and I read those comments, I wouldn't feel particularly good about myself.
No, and I'm with you there. And I think that my other takeaway, at least I'm trying to be optimistic about all this, Bees, because there's been plenty of negativity over the last decade or so with the Dolphins. But I'm hoping, and I actually feel pretty confident, that the new coaching staff will utilize Minka in different ways, but also maximize what he can do and really get the best out of him and his versatility.
No, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of guys they're going to do that with. And, you know, Bob McCain might end up playing safety because it's the best way to utilize his skill and get everybody on the field. And maybe, you know, I don't know, Kenyon Drake will be utilized in the right way, getting him the ball in space. I don't know if you needed him to be a volume back, but certainly the way, you know, don't run it up the middle and you know, crash your head into the line when you've got breakaway speed. There are a lot of different players that have not flourished. Charles Harris, another perfect example. He was a three-point stance guy, four-point stance guy his entire career, and has had three sacks to show for it. Maybe stand him up and let him get in the space, come and go, and see what you get out of him. It's all good stuff, man. I think there's the makings of a pretty good nucleus already on this roster. The issue is, you know, adding to that nucleus because they're not nearly close enough yet, and developing those players they have. And the last couple of years have kind of just been, you know, hamster wheel. You're running really hard, but you don't get anywhere with them.
That's for sure. All right, I'll leave you with this, Bees, and I appreciate your time as always. The NFL has announced tonight that Hard Knocks will be chronicling the training camp of the Oakland Raiders officially.
How about that?
You were just there, and yeah.
That was the topic du jour. They were peppering John Gruden about it. He was cursing out his brother Jay for lobbying for the Raiders to get it. He probably knew. I'm sure he did know. He had a good poker face letting the league announce it. Look, I mean, the characters that are on that team are just great. I mean, AB is going to be a star. I'm sure they're going to go down the Richie path like they did when the Dolphins had it in 2012. They're not the best team in the NFL, but they're certainly one of the most interesting. I'd say they and Cleveland are the two most interesting teams. And the Browns have a new coach, so they don't have to do Hard Knocks. It made sense with the Raiders. The only reason I would have, you know, pumped the brakes on Oakland this year is because next year when they move to Las Vegas, could you imagine the glitz and glamour that's going to be at training camp? You know, beggars can't be choosers. I'm definitely going to tune in because I got to see handles those personalities because there are some massive personalities in that locker room.
Oh, man, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm with you on that completely. Hey, Bees, thanks so much for the time, as always. Safe travels out in California, and we'll catch up with you again when you're back in South Florida, all right?
Sounds good, bud.
All right, there he is, Adam Beasley, joining us from out in the Oakland Bay Area, not covering the NBA Finals, but instead covering some mini camps on the West Coast. Appreciate his time, as always. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at Adam H. Beasley, and read his work in the Miami Herald.